The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello and welcome. We are so glad to have you here today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I'm your co-host, Misty Young, along with my co-host, Sherry Carey-Baum.
Hello, hello.
So glad you're here. It's so much fun to get together and talk about nutrition, which we love to do. This is a topic near and dear to both of our hearts, as we love to discuss whole food, plant-based nutrition and how it impacts human health. Now, we are coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. This is about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and truly the nicest people you'll ever meet. Now, before we get started today, I want to say thank you to the entire KCIW sound engineering and production crew. These folks are amazing. They work behind the scenes, sometimes behind the microphones, and sometimes just behind all of the equipment, making this little station the station that could, that did, that is, even during quarantine and lockdown, still bringing programming to you. So thank you to our team, all those folks. They're wonderful.
Absolutely. They are wonderful.
Now, of course, we're going to talk about nutrition because that is the thing we both love. I'm going to tell you, I am not a health professional and I am not a doctor. I'm a nutrition geek. I have a certificate as a nutritional therapist from the Health Sciences Academy. And I hold a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. Now, my co-host, on the other hand, we are going to talk about health. She is not a doctor, but she is a nurse with 35 years of experience.
Yes, I am.
She holds a master's degree of science in nursing and a second master's degree too, right?
Like nurse practitioner, family nurse practitioner, as well as nurse midwife.
Oh my gosh. Like, so, right.
Mainly just women is what my whole nursing career was.
And then you've developed, not only do you also hold a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies, but you're also currently sitting for certification, board certification from the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. Is that correct?
Yes. Isn't that exciting?
It is. It is. I'm really excited.
I'm learning so much just about how nutrition, exercise, sleep, meditation, all those things impact your daily life. It's pretty exciting news.
It is exciting news. I wish I was in the class with you. I kind of sort of want to, like, you know, scoot into the background. And I mean, what would it hurt if I wasn't seeking certification, right?
It wouldn't hurt anything. Come on down and study with me.
I love it. Did you get textbooks for this? Is it all online or is it
most of it's
textbooks?
Everything's online now, unfortunately. But there is a textbook, and then there's an optional textbook, which, if you know me, I love books.
So I know,
of course,
you're a book person.
To get it.
Of course.
It's a lot of good information, really a lot of studies, not only about health and what we can do to impact it, but a lot of studies about the psyche. And that's kind of what we were going to talk about today, right?
How
we perceive things.
Yes.
Can I tell the story of why I want to talk about it?
Yes, please, please. This is awesome.
We were talking to Misty's beautiful daughter.
Thank you.
She said, oh, I just love beautiful in every way. I mean, highly intelligent, stunning, articulate, just amazing young women. But one of them said to me, oh, I really like the plant-based diet. It's just so hard. And I was very nice and polite and went, it does get difficult, doesn't it? Now, for all those that know me, they know that's my voice.
Things that make you go,
It's my voice that says, don't call her on it. Be polite.
Yeah.
Because what we were going to discuss is how what you think and what you say becomes reality.
Yes.
So in my opinion, not to like throw your poor daughter under the bus or the train or anything else, but how is making beans and rice so much more difficult than having chicken on the barbecue or a steak on the barbecue?
Right.
Is it any different? I mean, you can throw beans in a Instapot and they're done in 20 minutes.
Right.
Brown rice in 15. potatoes. You can even throw those things in the Instapot and have a big baked potato with beans and salsa and fresh veggies
and green onions and broccoli and all kinds of good stuff.
So how much harder is it really to do a plant-based diet? And not to pick on her, because I think everybody has a tendency to think that it is overwhelming, and that's just because you don't have practice and you don't know about it.
Right.
But what I wanted to kind of talk about is when we say things or we think things,
yes,
whether they're true or not, we believe them.
It becomes our reality.
Because right. How many people say, I feel so fat, I'm so fat, and they're not. But their brain is doing something to them.
It's hijacked them and it holds them hostage.
And bad messages and insecurities that are coming from our brains, not from the outside world. Mm. Or let's say you go somewhere and someone's rude to you and you're like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Do I have the wrong clothes? Am I
a terrible person?
Right. Yeah. And really, you don't know it, but they got in a car accident on the way to their job and they're just freaking out.
Right.
Or they got in a fight with their boyfriend or their kids, you know, wouldn't get ready for school and there was a tantrum in the morning. We don't know, but our mind likes to say.
Our mind makes up stories.
It's all your fault.
Yes.
It's all your fault that she's rude to you.
Mm-hmm. In fact, since you brought this up, it's interesting that we're using my daughter's experience and what she said as an example. A couple of things come to mind. One, whole food, plant-based, it is a little more tricky in that you can't just take a burger patty out, you know, a preformed burger patty. I think what most people think of is convenience foods, right? And convenience foods really don't carry health for you. So when you're in sort of that transition mode, you know you want to do better, you know you want to eat better, and maybe you don't do, because I know I had something at your house recently that was amazing. It was so good. You prepared burgers and you made them from scratch.
Oh, I was so excited.
They were so good. Yeah. It was black beans and rice, right? Or was it wasn't
it
rice.
Was
quinoa?
Tempeh. And green lentils.
Oh my gosh, lentils. They were so good.
They were so good. And you know, they did take a little bit of time because you have to cook the beans first and then steam the tempeh, mix up the things.
But if you do batch cooking, right,
which
for the sake of discussion, so you make a bunch of patties.
An extra 10 in the freezer.
Right.
And I did it all at once.
Right.
And I don't know that making the tempeh bean burgers was any more difficult than chopping up things and putting them in for stew or for chili. You know, with chili, I think you have to brown the meat first, right?
Right. Yes.
So there's multiple processes, but it's...
Yes.
The roadblocks that we and our minds put in front of us. Because we have a choice. We can succeed.
Right.
Right? And we can say, I'm going to succeed. Or you can say, I could never possibly do it. It's too hard. And then you don't even try.
And then you don't even try.
That's failure. Because you didn't even try.
Right. Exactly. And I think the key factor here is when you're talking about young, busy professionals, like my daughter, for example.
Right.
They have really seen the light of convenience foods, right?
And they've grown up on it.
They've grown up on it. They have. They have grown up on it.
They've grown up on it.
And so, unfortunately, they come to my house and they see this process of me creating in the kitchen. And I don't take shortcuts in my kitchen, you know?
I don't think there are any shortcuts when you're whole food plant-based.
Exactly.
You know?
Except for batch cooking. I mean, there's batch cooking. There's ways to... Like, for example, there are... probably 24 burritos in my freezer because I love burritos.
Wonderful.
They're easy. And they're all filled with pinto beans that I cooked myself. I did put some onions in them the other day because the last time you asked me, you're like, you cook them all by themselves? I'm like, well, yeah. You said no onions, no garlic. I'm like, no. So I put some onions and garlic in last time. They really were good. Much better.
I have to tell you, anytime I can add more fiber and more nutrients and more flavor.
You do it.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. But I think ultimately there's a question we have to really ask. We're confronted with the idea that convenience foods are quick and easy. And what we have to ask ourselves is quick and easy the route to health?
No.
And wellness?
It's not.
And it's not.
It's not. Because if you think about it, and it's not less expensive, because in the long run, you're paying. Okay, so let's say it's easier to get a hamburger and fries. That's about, 2,000 calories if you throw in a soda?
Oh my gosh.
Right?
For one meal.
Right?
Right, and
cheese,
it's usually
mayo,
a cheese. Right,
right?
Yep.
You know, you've got all these calories. So do you honestly think you're not going to have to pay in one way or another, whether it's working your bun off or going on one of those trendy diets that never work, but you spend a lot of money, or diabetic medication, hypertension medication, a doctor, not moving and having arthritis because your body doesn't move anymore.
Rehab so, from having a stroke.
Oh my gosh, Alzheimer's scares the heck out of me. So when you think about the cost that really that convenience is, it's not a cost you want. And it's getting back to our instant gratification culture.
Yep.
Everything's instant gratification. Well, when you're an adult, you realize that instant gratification isn't the way of life. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
So by me eating a hamburger and fries and some ice cream, you know, sure, I'll be happy for that 20 minutes, 30 minutes if I learn how to chew slower.
Yeah, right. 12 minutes if you're an average American, maybe only 9.
And I'm a nurse, so we know how to eat fast.
Fast, yeah.
So in that moment, you feel great, right? You're like, oh, my taste buds are happy, whatever. And then 30 minutes later, you feel bloated, you're tired, and you start those messages in the brains. I can't believe I ate all those calories in one meal. That didn't even taste good. Now I'm going to have to exercise more. Do I even get dinner? Because did I eat all my calories in that one meal?
Yeah.
It just goes on and on. And I think you pay over and over and over for making choices that are based on instant gratification.
On instant gratification, on convenience. And when you really look at how you can change your approach, you can make whole food plant-based living convenient.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we had the other day, we bought some fresh, I love iceberg lettuce. Like, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I love it.
It's good. It's good because it's got a lot of water.
Yep.
It's got a lot of fiber.
It actually has some antioxidants in it.
It does. Yep. Not as much as romaine and all those others, but it definitely has it. But what it has is water. And we know that when you get your water through your plants.
Right. Talk about vitamin water.
It is vitamin water.
Yeah.
And it also fills you up.
Yes.
Whereas drinking a glass of water does not, Dr. Greger discussed it in his How Not to Diet book, doesn't fill you up. You're going to be going back for more calories. Whereas if the water is actually the food, like soups, watermelon, your iceberg lettuce, that fills you up so you eat less calorie density, et cetera, et cetera. So you don't gain as much weight.
And I love, because I love iceberg lettuce, I had some in the fridge, but last week, I had the chance to go to a farm here in our area.
Oh,
I know I want to introduce you to this lady so bad. She has this little farm. It's up off of Carpenterville Road.
Yeah, we.
And then up off of Timmeus Ranch Road.
Oh, very cool.
Up in that little saddle. Oh my gosh, so beautiful. And she had these huge gardens and super well tended.
Wow.
I know, huge lettuce. She had lettuce and broccoli and cauliflower and peppers and flowers and artichokes and berries, like the kind of berries that I hack out of my yard. I'm like, those damn berries. She had loganberries and blackberries and yellow berries.
Be careful with blackberries.
Right.
They definitely like to take over the world.
Right. But she was cultivating all these things and we just walked through her garden and she'd give me a bite of this and a chunk of that. And it was pretty cool. But one of the things that she did that was so neat, and I promise I'm going to make a point about this that's relevant about convenience, is she lopped off a few heads of lettuce for me. She's like, oh, here, take this, and gives me a head of this beautiful, robust, dark green head of lettuce. Gave me 2 or 3 of those and a bunch of leaves of other things. Huge bag. I came home and I prepped a salad.
Christmas.
Oh, it was Christmas. It was so good. And I added the leftover iceberg that I had to it. Ate on that for a couple of days, and then it was starting to get kind of down to the dregs of it, and I went out into my own garden that I planted.
Yay!
I was so exciting, and I because I had just seen how to do it, she just literally cut the head of lettuce off at the base, put it in a bag for me, so I did the same thing. And you know, this garden I planted because you encouraged me to plant it, and I cut the red lettuce out, and I brought it in the kitchen, and I prepped it, and I chopped it, and we ate it, and it was phenomenal. The point is, when there is salad in the fridge, you eat it.
You eat it.
That's right. So if you take a salad, and I like to make these big salads, I call them chopped salads, because it's lettuce doesn't hold as well, but chopped up broccoli, chopped up
cauliflower,
carrots, zucchini, cucumbers, you know, throw in some garbanzos and some kidney beans, all of those things together hold up really nicely. They and they'll do. Last in your fridge for 5 or 6 days. Absolutely. You can eat several meals out of it.
And then you have a good choice when you open that refrigerator because you're starved.
Right.
If you've batch cook and you've got a great salad and some rice and some beans, you throw all those in together, top it with salsa, and you are one happy camper.
Right. And so you've traded the convenience foods for convenient food that you created. Now you've got whole food, plant-based, conveniently made because you made it. You made the effort. Part of why we came to this discussion was because we're in a mastermind group, essentially with my daughters, who I very much appreciate that they invited us into this mastermind. And we did some study this week, didn't we?
We did. They give you homework.
They give you homework. I know. I'm like, dude, I haven't had homework in decades.
You get these really young women go, and you need to watch the video. And I'm like,
and they're like, here's your assignment. You're like,
I know. They called on me today, and I was just like,
You did really good, though. I appreciated it. Your comments were spot on. In fact, here's what you said that I thought was so cool. You said, well, in our homework that we had, you know, I realized you have to use your brain as a muscle just like you use your body in exercise. So you take your body to the gym and you sort of have to do the same thing for your brain to keep it supple and toned.
You do. Well, you have to keep your brain in check.
Yes.
You can't just let it go wild because when you let your brain go wild, we have a tendency to go to the dark side.
Right.
And I think we go to the dark side because, you know, cavemen, all that. You had to constantly be aware of threat.
Right.
So we don't have tigers trying to eat us. We don't have other things that are really causing threat, physical threat, to where we have to be constantly on guard. Like if you watch a deer, their ears go up.
They're completely always silent. Watching their back, always,
and
constantly.
I think that's what we're made of, or that's our history, our genetic history. So I think our brain always goes to the dark side because it's trying to protect us. Unfortunately, it's not honest. Our brains are not telling us the truth.
Right. It's like this inner tyrant, this inner dictator.
Mean,
this
mean bully. Right. It's a bully.
Yes, it's a bully.
Oh, it's horrible. I used to tell my poor patients when they'd come to see me and they'd go, oh, I can't believe I was so stupid. I can't believe I made that mistake. Yada, yada. Or I've been trying to lose weight, but I can't believe that I ate what I ate. Listen to what I ate. Mm-hmm. And I listen and I let them talk. Mm-hmm. And then I say, if your best friend came to you and told you their mistake, would you truly berate them, tell them they're stupid? Would you go on and on about what an idiot they are or say something like, well, you did this mistake before. Why are you doing
that? Right. Yes.
You would never that. You would be loving and say, you know, don't give up. You can do this. You'd be encouraging, supportive. So why aren't we that
doing
way to ourselves?
Doing that for our own selves. Yeah, you're right about the mind being a bully. In fact, the teaching that we watched was a little video from Michael Singer. Michael A. Singer is the author of a book called The Untethered Soul. And he also wrote another book called The Surrender Experiment.
Yep.
And I read The Surrender Experiment. Gary and I both read that just a couple months ago. And I read The Untethered Soul last fall. Both of those books were deeply, deeply moving to me. And one of the things that Michael Singer says in The Untethered Soul, he talks about your mind being a bully, and he talks about how we try to make the outside world consistent with what we think is going on in the inner world, right? So the bully goes, oh, you're fat. Oh, you've got wrinkles on your face. Oh, your feet are too big. And so then we try to find ways to, a confirmation bias, really, right?
Right.
We're trying to make the world conform with the visual that we have inside. And you're right. When you talk about the mind shifts to negativity, that's like automatic. That's
it
default
is automatic.
Thinking. And it's there's a change that we have to make to go to the positive side. It's not the default thinking. Gratitude is not
it
default
is not.
Thinking for most people. Positivity
Absolutely.
Is not default thinking for most people.
Absolutely.
Just like whole food plant-based living is not default living for most people.
No, and because there's so much negativity around vegans and whole food plant-based. Right. Most people don't even know what we're talking about when we say whole food plant-based. They just look at us quite puzzled.
Right? But their eyebrows are all messed up.
Oh, I know. They're all like, what the heck?
It is gaining some traction,
it
though.
It is. People are realizing because of lifestyle medicine and the ability to improve your immune system and cure disease and reverse disease. The news is getting out there. More and more people are getting behind it. I know Kaiser has a huge movement towards teaching their patients about whole food plant-based. But there's such a negative connotation about vegans, unfortunately, because they've got a bad reputation. People think that we're pushy. People think that we're mean. People think that, you know, we're not rational, that we're not making a rational choice. We are making a rational choice.
Well, it's a compassionate choice, too. And I understand why people think vegans are mean and pushy and all of that. Partly it's because they're somewhat militant about not wanting to kill animals.
I'm not.
Some are.
But not all of us. So you don't get to paint everybody with the same paintbrush.
Right. And now aren't we living that whole thing in our whole society right now? We don't get to just make these broad statements and say vegans are whatever, militants, right?
You have to sit and think about it. And once you do think about it and get rid of the interpretation of what a vegan is, then you can see the benefits of it. But that's the whole point of what is the mind saying.
Yeah.
So if I were to talk to somebody about whole food plant-based and explain that there's no dairy, there's no meat, there's no eggs,
there's no chicken, there's no cheese, there's no fish. Yeah.
You know, do you ask more questions with an open mind, or do you let your brain take over and go, oh, that's stupid? Why would she do that? Mm-hmm. She must be crazy. She's a hippie. Oh, I hear it all.
Well, the hippie part, I'll take that.
To a point. Yeah. I do shower, and I am going to say online, I do shave my legs and armpits. Oh,
okay, all right.
So not total hippie.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
But to actually be open and ask and shut down that negativity that you're hearing in your brain.
Yeah.
And I used to tell people, when you have that negative thought, say stop in your brain. Stop.
Stop.
And rethink it.
Yes.
Another thing that they talked about this morning was giving things 16 seconds.
Yeah, they said 16 to 17 seconds, just quick and dirty.
Because if you dwell on something longer, like, oh, doesn't my bum look big in these pants, right? And you go, well, maybe the pants shrunk, or maybe I ate too much. Or so you're giving it a lot of weapons to feed off to be a bully.
Mm-hmm.
So if you catch yourself saying something really mean and negative about yourself, or going in a direction of negativity, like this will never succeed, I can't do this, nobody will ever listen to me, I'm not good enough.
You're creating that reality with every reinforcing thought.
You are. So say stop and switch.
Yes.
Switch the sentence. So whatever it is, this will never succeed. This will succeed.
With a little more time. When. Or with a little more effort. Or with a new perspective. Or maybe I need to find a partner or a new path or whatever resources I need.
But it will succeed instead of it won't succeed. Or are these pants too tight? Did I eat too much? Stop. I'm okay. I look great. I feel great.
Yes.
That's what matters. If I want to reevaluate what I'm eating or whether I'm taking good care of myself, yay for me.
Yeah.
So just stop and switch.
Yes.
And what they're saying is, for some reason, 16 seconds is the magical number.
It's the magic number, yeah.
But you want to do it fast. It's just like training your arm, your bicep. Train your brain that the negativity is unacceptable.
It's, you know, Tony Robbins talks about it as a pattern interrupt, right? Like you go down this pattern of negative thinking, yep, beating up yourself, berating yourself, letting the bully of the mind take over. And when you do that pattern interrupt, first of all, it kind of gives you that little moment, right? Like,
right.
This is different. This is really different. One of the guys on our discussion today, it was a mastermind discussion, and we were talking about Michael Singer's work, The Untethered Soul. He said he has his 3 R's approach.
Oh,
do you remember that?
I
loved the 3 R's approach. And he said, and he sort of gave this period of time in there, this 16 or 17 seconds. He goes, my 3 R's are this: react, reflect, respond. And what was interesting was he said the reflect part is where you get a chance to make a different decision. So most of us kind of do react, respond, right? So like we see the thing and we respond right away. It's like, stop, hold up, wait a minute.
16 seconds isn't that short. You got 16 seconds.
Reflect on it for a moment and then respond. And then one of the other folks that I heard this morning, I loved the little exercise that he went through with us. Do you want to do the little exercise where he talked about, he said, the mind holds the dominant thought you give attention to.
Right.
Oh, remember
that,
he said
that exercise. You couldn't see me, but my eyes got really big. Like,
what?
I wasn't listening.
You were totally listening. But I think our listeners would appreciate hearing this exercise, which is I'd ask our listeners to hold in your mind for a moment the image of a Christmas tree. Okay, you can see the Christmas tree. Now, how about a pink bunny?
Ooh, I like pink
bunny. Can you see the pink bunny? Yeah, I can see the pink bunny, a little soft, little stuffed animal. How about chocolate cake? Make it vegan. Come on, make
it
dairy-free.
Make it vegan.
Make it with dates. Oh, speaking of which, I'm going to make some chocolate donuts this week.
Better save
them. I'm going to save some for you. They're going to be so good. Now think about a red bicycle. Now, when I said red bicycle and you saw the red bicycle in your mind, you were no longer thinking about the Christmas tree, right? You were thinking about the red bicycle. And the idea is that your mind holds the dominant thought that you give attention to.
So make it good.
Right. So make it good.
So make it good.
That's not earth shattering. You know, most folks are probably going, well, duh, your mind gives the dominant thought. Well, do you practice that? Or do you listen to the bully? Is there a dictator in your mind telling you that convenience foods are just fine? That it's easy and it's worth it? But the fact of the matter is, as Sherry said earlier, what are the costs that you incur in your body, in your health? I love how you talk about your mortgaging. We mortgage our health. We mortgage our future with every bite on the end of our fork every day.
Every day. Every day. Is it really bad just between you and me and everybody else listening? I'm still thinking about the chocolate vegan cake.
I know. I'm going to make those donuts. You want to hear what I'm going to put in them? This is going to be
chocolate.
So good. Well, chocolate, of course.
Cocoa, dark chocolate.
Yeah, dark chocolate. So I'm going to use, this is what I kind of been, I'm going to go winging it. I'm winging it this time. And I've been working out the recipe.
Oh my gosh, how brave are you?
Oh yeah. Well, heck yeah. So it's going to be 2 cups of oats. So oat flour.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to grind my own flour.
Sturdy.
Right.
Donut.
So 2 cups of oats. I'm going to use a cup. I'll probably use about a half a cup of date syrup. I bought some date syrup, right?
Yep.
So there's my sweetener. 2 tablespoons of baking powder, a little bit of salt, a little bit of vanilla, and maybe some chocolate chips. I have some dairy-free dark chocolate chips.
Or even just
and cocoa powder,
chocolate,
of course.
Cocoa powder,
Cacao. I think it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's at Anthony's big old bag of cacao powder. So that's it. And they're going to be so good.
Oh, you better save one because you've been talking about these donuts since I first met you.
I know.
I haven't seen
and
one
I,
yet.
Well, you know I made them when the grandkids were here and they ate them all up. Oh, I need a fat substitute. And there were 2 things I was thinking about. I'm going to be making an applesauce today. So I might use applesauce for it or I might use flax eggs.
You could do that. You could also, to make it just a little, I don't know how
less
you make
dense.
Real. You know what you could do?
What?
You could actually do cashew cream and whip it to make it a little lighter because your oat flour is pretty heavy.
It's pretty heavy.
So it'd be interesting to see if you could get some air in that cashew cream. Kind of like whipped cream, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Whip it up.
Yeah.
To see if you can make it lighter and use
and
that.
And use that as a liquid.
You don't
liquid.
Want too much, though, because remember, cashew cream is nuts.
Yeah, right. But
the
cashew cream could
it.
Be the fluff and it could be the fat
binder.
Factor that's in it, the binder, yeah. Okay, well, I'm pretty excited about that. I know. I seriously, last night I had a kind of a rough night of sleep and I was laying there thinking about those chocolate donuts. Yeah, I'm always thinking about food.
Me too.
But you know, when you make things whole food and plant-based,
you can eat them. They're good for you.
They're good
healthy.
For you. Yeah. I mean, I've discovered my downfall on whole food, plant-based food. My downfall personally is I still eat too much fat and I recognize it and I see it. And, you know, you share with me every week, you're like, you heard what they said in the lecture, right? That a serving size is 1 tablespoon. I'm like, oh, God, it's so hard.
Yeah, you have to bring out those measuring cups for
I know.
A while for certain things.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm still working on that.
It's okay.
It is okay. I don't beat myself up anymore.
You don't have to be perfect. That's what people don't understand. They think that I'm unpleasant to be around because I'm whole food plant-based and I love it and talk about it. I'm not perfect. There is nothing perfect about me. I don't eat perfect. I just do the best I can every day.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I mean, I eat a massive amount of fruits. I eat a massive amount of vegetables, but I eat too many nuts and seeds. Primarily, those are the two things I eat too much of because I don't use oil ever in my cooking anymore at all, which is really nice. In fact, you taught me how to use coconut aminos.
Oh, those are tasty.
Oh, they're so good. So they're I don't so make popcorn very often because the other thing my downfall is salt.
I do like salt.
It is a tough one. But if you have so much salt in your body that you have heart palpitations, that's just stupid.
Or you start to have edema.
Right. Which is swelling, both of which I deal
which is
with.
Swelling.
Exactly.
Part of the problem is with salt is it's in a lot of our food. So I always cook without salt.
Yes.
And then I put salt to taste.
Yes.
Because if you cook with salt, you're going to add a bunch more.
Right.
Whereas if you put it on top of your food, your tongue's going to taste that and you're going to need less.
I love it. Right. That's exactly right.
So,
you know, Michael Singer in The Untethered Soul, he said, I have a quote here from him that I really love. He says, "Only you can take inner freedom away from yourself. Or give it to yourself. Nobody else can." And that really comes back to this idea of beating ourselves up, the inner dictator, right. The bully that's in there that is thrashing all of us. You know, when you say people, you know, think I'm a perfectionist because I'm a whole food plant-based person, that I must be miserable because I'm a perfectionist and I'm, you know, I'm getting all... And it's not true. You're one of the most fun people I've ever known.
Nice.
You know, you're fun and you're happy and you're so
I am happy.
Positive about this movement. And in fact, speaking of this movement, I saw an article earlier this week that I was so thrilled with. And I want to share it really briefly if I can find it. This is awesome. We were talking about meat and listen to this. Sales of tofu have skyrocketed in the U.S.,
It is so exciting.
It's terribly exciting.
Why has it skyrocketed? Is it because beef is so much more expensive and so people are finding other alternatives? So maybe there is a good thing that came out of coronavirus.
Well, yeah. It says, this article says, as COVID-19 outbreaks pop up in meat processing facilities across the nation, a number of plants were forced to close or reduce operations.
Right.
And due to supply chain restrictions and disruptions, meat shortages have spiked, leading many to stock up on other sources of protein. But then you see someone like Dr. Greger, who ironically created a book and a whole program, a whole protocol about how to survive a pandemic. He didn't start that in March. He's been working on this for a couple of years, right?
He was actually talking about a pandemic, I want to say, early in his career, because in his career, he worked with public health.
Yes.
And he kept saying, we've got to be less reliant on meat.
Right.
Because there's so many diseases, so many viruses have come
from animal products
that we're using as meat.
And here it is.
Yeah.
And here it is. So, you know, is something that is good, is there something good that could come out of the coronavirus? Could people say, oh, maybe meat is not good for me? Well, yeah, it's the number one cause of heart disease. And think about all the other diseases besides morbid obesity and diabetes and liver problems and kidney problems and Alzheimer's disease.
I'd love to talk maybe in the future about Alzheimer's and meat and dairy. There's probably not much to say. Meat, dairy increases your chance of Alzheimer's because those blood vessels aren't perfusing as well.
Right.
You know, meat and cheese and dairy, all that cholesterol, it doesn't just attack your heart. It's in every single vessel you have.
Right. It's not like it gets in your body and goes, excuse me, could you direct me to the heart, please?
Take a left.
Take a left ventricle, if you will. No, you're right. It's the full body is experiencing the detriment of these substances that are so gross. In fact, the other day, oh my God, I was watching a Dr. Greger video about the pandemic and about the COVID-19 stuff. And he was saying, this is so gross what I'm about to say. It is really gross. I know. Gross alert. Okay.
Gross alert.
He was talking about the death rate and the sickness rate. And he said, you know, look, if you get 100 people that have a coronavirus infection, so they get the COVID-19, he says 83 of them are going to be mostly asymptomatic. They're really not going to have a real mild case, right?
Okay.
And then he's like, 5% of them are going to get pretty sick. And he goes, and then about 18% of them, and I know my math is a little bit off, but he goes, about 18% of them are going to have symptoms like pneumonia, which is just pus in your lungs. And I was like, what? I was grossed out. Yeah. Fluid. But it's said it's pus.
Well, it is, because it's, gross. You know, all pus is fluid, white blood cells.
Infected fluid.
And viruses, or bacteria, whatever kind of pneumonia that you have.
Ew, gross. Ew. So I'm going to take it one step further. Okay.
Oh, my God. How much further can we go?
We could go really gross here.
No.
So there was a study I watched recently where they have this breakfast tent and they're offering free breakfast, right? And it's a social experiment. So they invite people in and they're like, hi, ladies, we've got oatmeal here. And they offered at the same time, two hands come out, a bowl of oatmeal in each hand. Now, would you like the one with pesticides or without pesticides? Right? So everybody's like, well, duh, I'll take the one without pesticides. Hint, hint, go organic. So this morning I wake up and I'm telling this all to Gary. I always rat poor Gary out. And the poor guy, he has to listen to this stuff nonstop.
Like, you woke up and started talking about pesticides and oatmeal.
And chocolate donuts. He's like, could we just get back to the chocolate donuts? So I said, how cool would it be if we did an experiment where we invite people into the tent for a slice of pizza and we say to them, you know, two hands come out, one slice of pizza in each hand, you know, would you like the whole food plant-based pizza or would you care for the one with pus all over it?
Ew!
Because Jesus just concentrated pus.
That's so gross.
That is so gross.
I like pizza without cheese.
I do too. It's so yummy.
It's so delicious. You can actually take. Okay, I do. I love pizza without cheese. That sauce, and you get to pick every vegetable you can think about.
Yes.
And you make it nice and thin on a whole wheat crust. Anyway.
Hey, you know what? I want you to teach me how to make a red onion reduction sauce. Do you know how to do something like that?
Yeah.
Do you? I want to learn how to, because that is an awesome base for pizza, like a sweet red onion. Like, you use that instead of a red sauce?
Sure.
Okay.
We can do it.
Okay.
We can do it.
We can do that. Well, I love when we talk about Michael Singer and what he is teaching about how our mind, and see, part of what we just did is we demonstrated excitement over whole food, plant-based,
and over vegetables. Easy it is.
Yeah.
And how many ideas
you
can have.
It's a mindset.
It's such a mindset. And your mind can either help you accomplish something or it can derail you. It can take away from your life. So you get a choice. Do you want to have the best life there is and move forward and be progressive? And you know what? We all fall down. There's not one of us that isn't insecure, isn't nervous, isn't afraid.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So when you realize you're in incredibly good company, don't dwell on it. Move forward.
Move forward. Then, and I love what you said. Do the best you can.
Yeah. Yes. And your life opens to you. How many times have you done something and then you berated yourself for half a day?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Or I know, oh my gosh, when the pandemic first came out, we weren't allowed to touch or hug or do anything, right?
Yes.
And I was at the harbor and I walked by and I saw somebody I hadn't seen for a while and I ran up to her and gave her a big hug.
Nice.
No, it
yeah, wasn't. You expected everybody was looking at you going, what is she doing?
She was even looking at me. She goes, oh, a hug. And I just started beating myself up.
Oh
my gosh,
man.
Sherry, you're a nurse and you can't remember not to touch people.
You're a human being.
You know what I did? Because I was thinking about it so much. It was just circling in my brain and I was just beating myself up. It's like the new rules. You're a nurse. You're supposed to help be a role model. Mm. Nah, 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 nah.
Right.
Nag, 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 nag.
Yes.
I emailed her and said, I was so excited to see you that I couldn't help but give you a big fat hug. I promise I have no symptoms. I haven't been sick.
God.
I was just pleased to see you.
Yeah. And well, just for the record, that was like, what, 3 months ago? And everybody's still doing just fine.
Everybody's fine. You know what she wrote? She said, that hug was such a treat.
Aww.
It was such a nice thing to get. But it shows you how your brain works.
Right.
My brain is beating me up for doing something that just felt normal and natural and because of
and
the
automatic
virus.
Yes.
For someone I haven't seen for a while and I care about.
Of course.
Of course. And then it's like, ding, ding. So what I did is decided that I didn't want to dwell on it. I didn't want to think about it anymore. I was just going to send a little note that said, I wasn't thinking. I was just happy to see you. And it was a win-win for both because I stopped beating myself up, and it showed how much I care about her.
Nice.
Isn't that a nice way to do it? So
it
you stop that train of thought, get out of that mode, and move forward and live your life in a beautiful way.
Well, you literally had your mind, as you said earlier, goes to the dark side. You know,
and beat us side,
right?
Just bully yourself and come up with all reasons why you should have thought of why a hug was inappropriate.
Right.
When I was just going on emotion,
you're
you know,
being
happy
a human
emotion.
Being. Yeah, you're being a human being, and you're wanting to be positive and loving and kind. And yeah, these
happy.
Are weird circumstances.
I was happy.
Yeah.
So I guess the whole reason I'm telling that story is to teach people. We all make mistakes. We all do things without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What was the intention behind it?
Yes.
So if I was honest with myself and I went, oh, well, my intention was to cause disease in more people.
Right.
Then
come
on. Shame on me.
Right.
But my intention was to show love.
Yeah.
So good for me.
Yes.
Let's be positive in our own minds to ourselves. Let's be our best friends.
Let's be our own best friends. Let's take the high road. Let's not shift into automatic negative thinking. It's the default. We have to live life by design or default. And if we live it by default, that's where we just get the default results, which in America is obesity and heart disease and all kinds of other conditions guaranteed and brought to you by the standard American diet.
And our brain helps recreate anxiety and depression and fear. Mm. Right? How many of us worry constantly?
Yeah.
And it's because we're on a treadmill in our own brains. This little tiny worry wart is running around on that treadmill just doing the same thing over and over. I think of a gerbil on one of those wheels, you know, where you just go around and around.
Yep.
Stop the wheel. Be kind to yourself.
Yep.
Allow for mistakes. We all make them.
Yep.
And move forward.
And move forward. Well, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, can I even do whole food plant-based? Can I eat more vegetables? Can I eat more fruit? And I would say put one little word in front of all of those sentences.
I can.
How can I eat more vegetables,
I'm even more. I'm like, I can.
I can. Yeah, I can.
I can.
Both
I can
of those. Yeah.
One is, more apple.
Exactly.
One more zucchini with dinner.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, shoot, zucchini can go in anything.
Breads,
right? I mean, apples can go in salads. Zucchini can go in salads.
Apples can go in salads. I never thought about that.
Oh, I put apples and oranges in my salad all the time.
You made a salad once that had oranges in it and it blew my mind. And I thought, and I haven't remembered that. Maybe I've remembered it once or twice since then, but I need to remember
it
more.
Sweetness.
Yeah.
This morning I had grapes that were going bad, so I threw those in my oatmeal. Oatmeal, mango, and apple. And blueberries.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the grapes were in there too.
A ton of fruit in there. We had oatmeal with peaches this morning.
Oh, that's lovely.
I know. I told Gary, I said, you know, when peaches are in season for such a short period of time, you gotta make your use of them when you can. In fact, these were hard as rocks when we got them.
I don't like those.
I don't like that either, but I did learn a little trick, which is when you get the hard as rock peaches home, and I did have them for 2 weeks.
You don't eat them right away?
You don't eat them right away because they're hard as rocks, right? So I kept them in the fridge, and when I was ready to eat them, I brought them out, and I put them in a paper bag loosely folded down for a couple of days. And I don't remember what the name of the gas is, some kind of ethylene something or other, whatever it is that it releases in the ripening process, they all ripened together. Then I chopped them up and put them in the fridge, and then bam, we had fresh peaches for a couple of days. They were awesome.
They are awesome. Yeah. You can do that with avocados too.
Yes.
To increase the ripening.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's fantastic. Well, another quote that I love from Michael Singer in The Untethered Soul is, if you truly love someone, your love sees past their humanness. And so you see a friend down in the harbor.
Oh,
you truly love her. You rush her with a hug. Your love saw past the humanness of, wait a minute, we're not supposed to hug or love or touch because we're in pandemic lockdown.
Yeah. Let me tell you, though, I stopped doing that right away. Now I just go, oh, virtual hug.
Oh, I know. Now, I like this bow thing, you know, you sort of bow. I did the same thing, though. We had a solstice party last week, and there was a lady here who lost her husband a few months ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I rushed her, and I hugged her, and I kind of thought the same thing later. I was like, oh, I rushed her, and I hugged her. And
She came to a party, so okay.
Yeah, well, it was an all-outside party and all of that. It was a minimum number of people, and we thought about it, you know. We thought about, hey, we could go on default and go live scared and say, oh, we can't get together and see each other. Or we can be positive and loving and have a party and be outside and, you know, party together responsibly, which we did.
You know, one thing that's really cool about the bowing?
Yeah.
Where you put your hands
yes.
depends on the respect for the person. So if your hand is right, like for a child, this is from Thailand, I don't know anywhere else.
Okay, all right.
But if it's at your hand and it's a child, you bow. If it's somebody that's your own age, your own status, I guess, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's at like your nose, your mouth.
Okay.
If it's a monk or a priest, then your hand goes to the top of your head and you
bow.
So depending on where your hands are is how respectful you're trying to demonstrate.
Interesting.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool. I never knew that. But now that I think about it, I've seen
it makes sense.
Bows from different positions. Or just, you know, it's a nod, really. I mean, what we're doing is putting our palms together and our fingers straight up. And if you put those together and straight up in the center of your chest, that's sort of where you're saying, or is it down lower?
No, right at your
children.
Chest.
So right
just
at
kind
your
of
chest,
at your
that's
chest.
To sort of
somebody younger than
younger
you.
Younger than you.
Or like if you were a businessman and it was somebody that you were the boss of.
Okay.
You would put your hands there and they would put their hands up there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah, I do too. That's neat. Well, let's talk a little bit more about this idea of how can I? What would you say are some number one, what are some of your favorite strategies to help people move from convenience foods? Because we started really talking about convenience foods. What are some of your favorite strategies to get people moving out of convenience foods, even if there's a transition period or straight into whole food plant-based living?
Well, you know, whole food plant-based has convenient foods. We have canned beans. You don't have to cook beans. Mm-hmm. You can open a can of beans.
And Dr. Greger says you ought to eat beans every single day.
My new goal is a minimum of a cup a day.
A cup a day. And what kind of beans are you talking? Pinto beans, kidney beans, black beans, garbanzo beans, any or all of them?
Any, all of them.
And is it specifically beans or is it legumes? And is it, because there's a difference,
either
right?
Either like one.
Split peas, green peas, lentils.
Either one.
Okay.
Either
same
one.
Same.
Just incorporate some beans in your day. So if you open up a can of beans, they even have rice that's pre-cooked, organic brown rice, pre-cooked in the freezer section, most freezer sections. They have it in packages where it's brown rice pre-cooked. You just heat it up. And so for me, that's convenient food.
Yes.
Right? There's no chemicals.
Right.
There's nothing in those cans. You can get low sodium beans, so very little salt in your canned beans. So really, there's not much added. And what can you do with rice and beans? Burritos with a little bit of pre-made salsa, right? Salsa is like a half a cup is like 10 calories.
Right.
I mean, it's like
and
a
it's very filling.
Food.
Yes.
Oh, it's delicious. So you can do rice and beans and salsa. That's convenient food.
You can use rice and beans to make tacos.
Tacos.
You
how
can
about
make it into a chili.
How about a bowl of lettuce and put rice and
I love
warm
to do that
food.
Warm on lettuce.
I
do that too.
That.
Oh,
so
Gary and I too were into it.
Lettuce, beans, rice, salsa, wonderful meal. If you've got kids, wrap it up in a whole wheat flour tortilla and give them a burrito. Or again, our favorite, bananas, peanut butter, and a whole wheat tortilla
for
breakfast or a snack for their lunch, anything.
Well, and talking about convenience foods, it's not just rice and beans, but some other convenience foods or convenient foods that you can use in whole food plant-based living is whole wheat tortillas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, tortillas are easy to make sandwiches or burritos or, you know, other kinds of wraps. I love to take a salad and just stuff it into a tortilla. So you make it's really a salad burrito.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah,
and you can throw
is.
In a little bit of tofu or... You know what? You've got beans, mash them up and throw them in there. I love baking and air frying garbanzo beans. And
yes.
I throw those into soups or I throw them on salads.
Do you dry them all the way out when you bake them in the air fryer?
I do because I like the crunch.
You like them crunchy. Do you season them at all when you do it?
I do. So it depends on what you're going to want to use them for. But they've got taco seasoning, which
yes.
is delicious.
Yep.
A little bit of garlic powder,
yep.
taco seasoning.
Uh-huh.
You know, shake them up while they're wet, put them in the oven very low for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And when I do that, I do a bunch of them so that I can use them.
Right.
I love garbanzo beans like that in tomato soup.
Oh,
I
love
and
tomato soup.
And tomato soup, excuse me, it doesn't have to be Campbell's.
No.
All it is can of tomatoes, onions, garlic. Sometimes
and
I put
in celery.
Wand. Well, and I put in celery and
yes.
carrots
yes.
for sweetness.
Uh-huh.
And
immersion wand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Blend it, you know, cook it all up, blend it all up. You've got homemade tomato soup. Oh my gosh.
And it's
if you
so great.
Like spice, add a little bit of chili.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, another thing we talked about earlier was whole food, plant-based, truly whole food, just veggie pizza. You know, you can
Easy.
Get whole wheat pizza shells,
crust,
right?
Yeah.
Or crust. I forget what they're called. Pizza crust.
Those bottom things.
Yeah, those bottom things. It's just a vegetable delivery system, really,
and then
you know?
You don't even have to have pizza sauce. You just do tomato sauce and add a few herbs. Add some herb in there.
Add some herbs on that. I'm down with herbs.
Add a little garlic powder, a little bit of the herbs, and mix it all up. There's your sauce. It's not that hard.
It's not that hard. And a couple of other items that are convenient and easy in the whole food category is baked potatoes.
Baked potatoes
are so darn good.
They are.
And you can put everything on them.
Anything in it. Broccoli.
Oh, steamed
salsa,
broccoli.
Beans. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it, anything can go in a baked potato.
Do you like to make a salad and then cut the baked potato up onto the salad?
I do.
I do too.
I love
anything that can go on a salad and wilt it.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I like salad.
We have to make that plan. We're going to have you guys over for dinner. We're going to do a baked
potato
bar.
You guys heard this.
You heard
it
right here. You know, here's the other thing too. People, when they think about going whole food plant-based, they worry about their protein sources. But the fact is, A, we've been sold a bill of goods about how much protein we need because that was brought to you by the meat industry. And B, there are so many different sources of protein, especially if you're thinking about raising whole food plant-based kids. So vegan kids, I mean, my grandkids freaking love edamame. They love it. And they love green peas. And they don't love tofu so much unless I cook it in the air fryer or in the convection oven and give it a real chewy texture. Then they love it. Okay, so what do? I cut up blocks of tofu. I make a ton of tofu that's ready to go. It'll stay in the fridge for a week.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
make it
and
sort of a jerky style.
And you can put anything. Curry seasoning.
Yes.
You can put barbecue sauce. You can put
You could put soy sauce and teriyaki and a little bit of, you know, spicy lemon or lime or something. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to make it taste great. In fact, sometimes I take tofu, the super firm kind, the Wildwood super extra firm sprouted tofu. I cut it really, really, really thin. And I'll make trays of this stuff at the same time. I will marinate it in like a teriyaki sauce for a day or two. And then I will convection cook it in the oven and it turns into like a sandwich meat.
Absolutely.
You know, so then you take a whole wheat bun and you put that in there and you put some
lettuce,
cabbage
tomato.
Or some, some lettuce or tomatoes or cabbage. I love the green and red cabbages together.
Me too. And they're so
the
good
top.
For you. So, so, so good for you. Do you know you can freeze tofu and thaw it out, squeeze out the fluid, and you've got that consistency you're telling me about that the kids like?
Yes, the real kind of
chewy, meaty.
Chewy, meaty, right. I know, meaty.
Did I just say
gross.
Meaty?
You did, but no, it's hearty. It's a
it's
real
that
hearty.
Texture that
it's that texture.
People are so used to.
The other thing, I really want to encourage people to look for and purchase something called soy curls. And I've had these house, and I made some for Gary the other day, and his mind was blown. And
they're
I did something
amazing.
Really basic. Yeah. He goes, what is this? I said, it's tofu. I mean, it is.
It is. It's
soybeans.
Dehydrated,
Yeah, it's soybeans. You take them out, You drop them in water for like 10 minutes. And then I cooked them in a barbecue sauce and I threw them on top of whole wheat buns with some cabbage. And he was like, this is unbelievable.
It is so nice.
I know.
You can also chop them up smaller because they come out kind of about
kind
an
of
inch
long. Yeah. Oh, some of them are the size of your index finger. Right. I mean, some of them are really long.
So what you can do is you can chop them up
and
then use them for taco meat, rehydrate them, use them with some spice, put it in taco meat. That's another easy, convenient food.
Right.
I mean, I have taco shells coming out of my ears because I'm always afraid I'm low on them. So I buy them and freeze them, buy them and freeze them.
Right.
I was in the freezer this morning. I'm like, I think I'm pretty good on taco shells,
okay,
corn
on
tortillas.
But that makes a great taco filling.
And you can use it in chili.
You know,
to have that consistency.
I was going to tell you, I learned something really cool that you can do before you rehydrate it. You can break it up while it's dry.
Yeah, much easier.
It's
than
a lot
trying
easier
to do it.
Yeah,
after
so you can
all...
kind of smash it in the package, or you can bring it out and just kind of crunch it with your hands in the bottom of a ceramic bowl or something. So those soy curls are amazing.
They're yummy.
I know.
And see.
We just went through a whole bunch of different convenient options that are not convenience foods, but make your journey into whole food plant-based living that much more simple.
Yep.
And it really does come down to saying, I can, or how can I, right?
Exactly. Instead of, oh, it's just too difficult, or... But I'd like people to take our idea of being kind to themselves, not being bullies in their mind.
Yeah.
Knowing that you can do what your mind is set on.
That's
it may be slower than you first thought.
Yep.
But don't give up and don't let your mind derail you.
Well, keep in mind that 17-second rule, that if you stay on that 17 seconds of like, well, I can't do this. It's so hard. It's so difficult. I don't know what to do. If you stay there, you're going to get more of that, right? So like attracts like. If you're down that downward spiral of I can't, I don't, I won't, I don't know how, I'm not sure, any of that stuff. If that's where you're going, stop. As Sherry said earlier, just stop. Stop in the moment. Spend 17 seconds. Change the thinking. Do a pattern interrupt. Drop in a how in front of how can I, or drop in an I can in the beginning of that sentence and change your thinking. Change your mind. Once you begin to change your mind, the outside stuff changes automatically.
Oh, it does. It's your inner environment versus your outer environment. So do you choose depression, anxiety, and fear, right?
Right.
You're choosing it.
Yep.
Do you choose, and I don't ever think I'm saying people that have the process of depression and that they're diagnosed with depression, that I'm undermining that, because no.
Right.
You know, that's something that you deal with your healthcare provider. But you have choices of shifting some of these thought patterns from the negative to the joy, to the grateful, to the positive. So when you have those negative thoughts, turn it around. Instead of, boy, I look bad in these jeans today, turn it around and say, you know, I'm having a really good hair day.
That's right. That's right. And look how much closer I am to getting these jeans on the fit.
The right bottom.
Yeah, the right fit. That's awesome. Well, we have come to the end of our time together. It always seems to go so fast. I love all the ideas and the concepts we talked about in terms of how you can change your thinking. You can add an I can, you can add in a how, you can realize that there's a bully often living in your own head and you don't have to let it live there.
Nope.
You get to pick it. So thank you, Sherry. Thank you for all the wisdom
so
you brought.
Fun.
It is great. And I'm going to make those chocolate donuts this week.
Oh, if I don't get one, I mean, we're going to have to reevaluate this friendship.
You're going to get one. There's no grandkids here this week.
Hide it. Even if you have to hide it from
That's
Gary.
Right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us here today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We are so thankful that you spent a little bit of your time with us, whether you were coming to us from KCIW 100.7 FM on the radio dial or anywhere in the world, any time of day on the podcast. We're glad you were here with us. Thank you again for hooking up with us. I'm Misty Young with Sherry Carey Baum.
Yep.
We'll see you again real soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.